AI agents are everywhere, automating tasks and making decisions at machine speed. But agents make mistakes. Just one rogue agent can do big damage before you even notice. Rubrik Agent Cloud is the only platform that helps you monitor agents, set guardrails, and rewind mistakes, so you can unleash agents, not risk. Accelerate your AI transformation at rubrik.com. That's rubrik.com.
What's up, everyone? Welcome back to episode 4 of the Uncensored Podcast. I'm Carter Haas with your co-host, Adam Wickel. And we are here with our very special guest today.
Andrew Welch.
Nick Ezra.
Chandler Newton.
And we have a jam-packed episode for you guys today. So we're going to start off with our recap of the week. We're actually here with a L4 lacrosse champion.
Hell
yeah. Adam Wickel. Give it up for Adam Wickel. Star goalie of the L4 lacrosse team.
Overrated. Only saw 10 shots.
Okay, so tell us how the tournament went this weekend and how you did.
It's just clockwork. They all bums. I don't know what else to say.
No comp? Like, no comp?
Because... No comp. Nobody. Wow. They scored five. We had 5 goals scored on us the whole tournament.
Wow. Wow. Okay.
We averaged one goal scored on us per game.
That's crazy.
LF or anything?
No, we're going up to Delaware. We've got Ohio this weekend. There actually would be some good competition there. And then we're in Delaware that following, I think it's Wednesday, Thursday. And then we're back in Colorado July 8th and 9th. Try and repeat the win there.
Yeah.
So for my week, we started summer league basketball, and we're getting into that. Sadly, we still don't have star point guard Dre Vassar back yet, but we have actually been winning a lot of summer league games. We won against Holy Cross and Fairdale and Southern this week, and we're getting our young guys into the groove, and we're getting healthier because we had some guys that were injured or not playing. But then we got some of them back, and now they're starting to find their role in the rotation. And we're actually here with legacy betmaster Nick Ezra. So how would you tell us, like, how your week on the parlays went?
You know, I'd say I had a pretty okay week of betting, but it wasn't really about the betting. It was more about just – I had a good time watching the wrap-up of the NBA and the NHL. It's always cool seeing the teams that you thought were going to win at the end of the year. I mean, at the beginning of the year. Maybe win at the end of the year, maybe lose. So I had a good time. It's always fun beginning of the summer when
there's no sports right now. We're in
Tennessee. Yeah, there's no sports right now at the time of recording this. It's just baseball. And
this is the dog days of summer.
The dog days of summer. So.
Baseball weekends, PLL, but
yeah,
PLL's not like it's not. So I mean, it's not NBA.
The last week's been pretty good though. It's been fun watching the Nuggets, who deserved it this year, I thought, and also Vegas deserved it this year too. So it was cool seeing them win, and it was even better doing it with my friends. So
yeah,
it's been a good week.
And then we're here with Transy lacrosse commit Andrew Welch.
Yes,
so how about you tell us about your week and like what you've been up to recently?
I haven't been up to much. I just been chilling for real. I haven't really gone out that much. I've just been laying low, trying to hydrate, get my body back. My body hurts so bad, so I haven't got it back. I'm starting stretching now. It's something new.
So what would you say you're most excited or like looking forward to at Transy?
Meeting the new guys, playing. That's gonna be most definitely the most exciting part.
And then we're here with legacy cameraman, film man, TTV superstar, Chandler Newton, who is going to the University of Kentucky. So tell us how your week was.
It was good. You know, I've been trying to find a job recently. Can't find a job anywhere. Like, it's actually, like, crazy.
Oh, yeah.
Nobody is hiring.
Academy Sports.
Yeah. Academy Sports, hit us up. We're trying to get a job. But I applied to Seattle. Like, this week I applied to Golf Galaxy and Nike.
Mm-hmm.
No response. But I hit up Ayanna Sharp, actually. Her dad's a horse trainer. Real good horse trainer. So I'm going to see if I can get out there maybe early in the mornings and work for him.
Hollister might be working at Drake's.
Really?
Yeah. That'd be hilarious.
that would be definitely
good for Holster. He's got an interview on Tuesday, I think.
Uh-oh.
So, Chandler, we all know that you were committed to go to Stockton for lacrosse earlier this year, but then recently you decided to it wasn't in your best interest anymore and you decided to decommit. So what was the decision that led up to you deciding to decommit from Stockton?
So, I committed to Stockton in July. So July of last year. So we're coming up on almost a year of that. And I feel like for going to a D3 school, like I committed a little bit too early. Mm-hmm. I didn't really think about too much, really, my whole process. I was thinking more strictly lacrosse. And I kind of started putting into play. I was like, do I really want to go 11 hours away from home? The major that I want to do in college, I don't even really have that. Like, I started taking a bunch of different things accountable. And then I just kind of made my decision and decided to stay home in UK and just do some club lacs and hang up the competitive lacrosse boots.
The competitive boots.
Yeah, the competitive boots. No more of it. It's sad. I'm gonna miss playing like competitively like that. And I think I would have liked to see how it would have done at the NCAA level. But you know, God's got a plan for everything.
I think club ball is like it'd be fun though.
Yeah. So like UK's club lacs. Like last year they went down like Ole Miss. They went down there. They played them and like hung out there for a few days. Hung out with some of the Ole Miss guys. That's sweet. So like that stuff like that will be fun. It'll be interesting to see what kind of the schedule, what goes on, what they do.
Yeah, because everyone I've talked to that plays club, like Hunter, he says, mm-hmm. I know like Miami of Ohio, he says it's
no, yeah, he enjoys it. And then I mean, even one of our coaches, Ryan McCauley, he's Louisville's club lax coach, and he loves it. And they have a good program too. They went to for the division they're in. They went to the championship this year for the country.
So we're gonna keep it with you, Chandler. What were your top five moments at Trinity? It doesn't have to be like just lacrosse. It can be like anything throughout your 4 years at Trinity, like your top five moments at Trinity.
All right. It's kind of hard to put it in an order, but I'll just kind of like base off.
Number one, meeting me again.
No. So one of my favorite moments.
Reuniting with the goat.
Freshman year. Actually, I don't know if y'all two know this, but I know Andrew and Nick do. So I made, is my first ever like edit basically, and it was of the teacher versus student basketball game. And I made an edit of Dontre Gerald, and
he was hooping.
The whole school was like loving it, and it was like that was one of my favorite moments. Yeah, and it was to the box too. It was
crazy.
Is that on your Instagram?
Yeah, it's on like Chandler like Newton Instagram. It's not even on Chan filmed it because like Chan filmed it wasn't a thing.
That's funny.
But that was one of my favorite moments. The UNC team camp actually.
Yeah.
That was awesome.
Oh.
Yeah, because that's the only one we had. That was our everything else got canceled because of COVID. But so that was our first one and also our last one, and that was one of the best things I think I've done at Trent because that was cool, and I feel like I got super close with a lot of guys on the team, and
oh, yeah.
It was just a fun time.
UNC camp was a bunch of fun.
Yeah, like we snuck on North Carolina's field, like
chill.
That was awesome. And then we watched Patty the Batty fight there. Oh, it was so fun. And then
people always lurking though.
Yeah,
they always lurking.
There's a few guys that were lurking a lot. Another favorite, probably beating St. X. That one meant a lot. Mm-hmm. That was an exciting one. Retreat.
Mm-hmm.
Trinity's retreat, your senior year. That's a very good time. You guys will enjoy that. You get to
y'all better go.
Yeah, like you that's gotta right, yeah, the right, effort you so. Put into that, like. You're gonna get the most, like whatever you put in, like you're gonna get out of it.
Yeah,
like, the most you get out. Like, it's so fun. Like, I met dudes there who I barely ever talked to, or I didn't even know going into retreat, and like now, like, some of like my closest friends. Like, there's one kid, like me and him, like had a talk, and like me and him check up on each other every week, just like talk about random mm-hmm. stuff. So what are we at? That's four.
That's four.
Fifth one. I don't know. Honestly, probably all the football games. Oh, like, yeah. This senior year, all the football games were so fun.
Because y'all were going
dude, we had some good. We had some good wins.
The out-of-state ones were so fun, though.
Yeah, I drove down to Carmel. I packed the car. We went down to Carmel. That shit was awesome.
We piled
they,
up.
They had an airplane fly above the field and someone skydive and deliver the game ball, bro.
Yeah, that was crazy. It was sick. But, we'd all pile up in Mr. Wickliffe's van. And he'd take us down there, and then we'd go to the games, and we'd have a very good time. And then after, we'd go and hang out with football guys, and it was fun. I enjoyed that a lot.
Well, now we'll go to Mr. Nick Ezray, Mr. Visual Arts, and so do the same thing. Tell us your top five moments of your Trinity career, that like are the most memorable to you.
Yeah, I can do that. My number one favorite moment would probably be the day our senior class got to take our masks off for the first time. After freshman year, we got to do half of it without masks, but coming back junior year, about 3/4 of the year, getting to take your masks off was a pretty cool moment because you got to it just kind of felt like it was new people. Number two, I'd probably say I got to give a speech at our Trinity Baccalaureate Mass. Probably say for me that felt like that was pretty important to me because it meant a lot that I got chose to do that, and I respected all the people that chose me to do that a lot, so that was pretty important to me. Three, I'd probably say I had a lot of fun at every Trinity basketball game. I was a really big fan of all the Trinity basketball guys. Like I'd been really close to them since freshman year. I managed them my freshman year, so watching them beat St. X multiple times my senior year and junior year were just awesome. Because they deserve the hell out of it. I'd say fourth, I'd probably say it was pretty cool watching them beat St. X in lacrosse this year.
Yeah.
Because I know they worked really hard for it and they deserved it in the regular season. And I just think it meant a lot to them, which meant a lot to me too. And then fifth, I'd probably say just creating memories and meeting like the last two semesters of my senior year, talking to kids that I just really didn't know I had anything related to them, close to them, anything like that. So kids that I can imagine myself hanging out with every day that I didn't even know I knew that well. So, yeah, Trinity's awesome. Trinity's the best school on planet Earth. So I had a lot of fun there.
Now we'll take it to Andrew Welch, who will be giving his top three moments at Trinity High School and, like, what he found most memorable.
For number one, I gotta go beating St. X because they've whooped us for years, and some of the games were just not even close. And then we did actually work really hard to get where we were, and then we finally beat them. So it was a pretty cool moment. And then
can't forget the seven goals, the seven goals.
That's crazy.
Legacy.
And then no, this is no particular order, but I'd say. Was it junior year where we had that lunch where it was just me, you, and Jack Mac, and Bird? I was four.
Yeah.
Yeah, that junior year lunch, everybody else was in the other lunch, and they had their big table going, and we weren't. So we just had the four of us, and we just sat together every day. That was before I was, like, friends. Like, I wasn't that close with Chandler or Bird again, or not even Jack Mac, honestly. And then now I'm, like, really good friends with all of them, rooming with Jack Mac. So that, I gotta say, that's a pretty cool memory. Yeah.
That was a sneaky one. We had fun. We had good talks.
And then my final one, I would have to go with my freshman year math class. It was so stacked. Like, that is where I met all my friends. All my friends throughout, like, Trinity were all in that math class together. And, I don't know, it was cool. We all grew up. We kept the same math group chat, we added more people to it, or not really. Yeah.
Were you in that math class?
Yeah, he was in the math class. Will was in the math class too.
Dude,
Jack Mac was in it. Drew was in it. Chuk was in it.
Preston Eager.
Preston was in it. Bean was in it. Brooks was in it.
Yeah.
Steven was in it. Jake Earhart was in it.
Yep.
Tober was in it. Dude, there were so many people.
Yeah.
It was awesome. I gotta say that for my final memory.
So, I've only been at Trinity for 2 years, so I'll try my best to come up with one, or come up with a couple. I would go the Center Grove football game. Because I'm not going to lie, freshman year, we did not have the greatest student section. I felt it was lacking a lot at times.
It was terrible.
It was not good. Like, people just did not show out for games a lot. Like, obviously, like, St. X, they showed out, but, like, my first game of the year, they didn't really show out. And they did their home game. Like, having the two road games to start off the year, and then coming back home, unveiling that video board, then just snapping that 31-game winning streak of Center Grove. Like, and that was just one of, like, the best, like, feelings, just to see how much, like, how hard those guys work for it, and then just beating them. And that was, like, the first time I actually remember, like, seeing the alma mater after a, like, win.
Yeah.
So, like, that's the first time I've ever gotten to do that. So that was awesome. And
that's sick. That's a great moment.
AI agents are everywhere, automating tasks and making decisions at machine speed. But agents make mistakes. Just one rogue agent can do big damage before you even notice. Rubrik Agent Cloud is the only platform that helps you monitor agents, set guardrails, and rewind mistakes, so you can unleash agents, not risk. Accelerate your AI transformation at Rubrik.com. That's Rubrik.com.
The first time you get to do it.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And then I'd say beating St. X at Knights Hall was definitely one of, like, the best moments ever, just because, like all those guys I gotten so close with being on the team, and, like, just knowing how hard they put into it, and, like, just how they were not.
Or you talk about the St. X game.
Yeah,
that had to be on the
San Trinity at the Bellarmine.
That was awesome.
This year, this year was dope, because
at the end of the game when
what was so good about it was we were such heavy favorites, and, like, we knew
it was gonna be a close game,
and we knew
it's a rivalry game. Like, that, no matter how much more talented one team is, it's gonna be close.
Just get muddy and,
like, exactly, because, like,
the tougher team pulled it out, which was us. So it was cool to see that.
I was so mad I couldn't go to that game.
What?
I was in Florida at a camp, and I ended up going on a visit. And so, like, we couldn't go to the game. Yeah, I was so mad, dude.
I never forget when Alex Johnson...
Oh, that's when you came back from retreat. Oh, no, okay.
That's when you came back from retreat.
Yeah.
Dude, that was at night.
I'll never forget when Alex Johnson, as the buzzer ended, just leaps up there and just slams the ball, like, through the net to seal the deal. And then...
Would you, Carter, say your worst moment of Trinity ever was when we lost to Mel this year?
That was actually, like, one of the worst days of my entire life. Not just because we lost to Mail. That morning, I failed my restricted test. That morning.
You practiced it.
So basically,
so you were doomed from the start.
So basically, I was training.
It's all Carter's fault.
I was training myself. Okay, this game is gonna do it. This game is the one that's gonna put my day, like, on cloud. Because guess what? I had no power at home. I was taking cold showers every morning. I was sleeping with a shicey mask on because I was so cold every night. And so, the start of the game, CJ Wall just went unconscious. Like, he was not missing. It was three after three after three. Yeah, he was just drilling them. And then, I mean, those Evelyns, dude, they're just...
That was still... Even though we lost that game, that still might have been one of the best basketball games. If you're just being appreciating basketball,
like,
that was a
great, we were down game, we were know. Down seven in overtime with, like, a minute to go, and we're down seven, and then we just start clawing back, and then you all know the Dre Vassar shot. I mean, like,
crazy.
Name a colder shot that, like, just dribbling and then just sinks a shot to, like, to send that game to double overtime, like.
Yeah, that was crazy. I remember screaming at Cole, you know, the younger one.
Yeah,
I remember because Jack Mack's sister is friends with him, and I heard he never had he had strawberries for the first time at, like, the McKiernan's or something, and I, like, screamed at him, and he started laughing. I thought that was a pretty funny moment.
Yeah, that
he knew.
It was like, that was just the worst, because, like, this was the year for us to go to Rock.
Yeah.
Like, those guys, like, I know how I'm, like, Cam's been on varsity for 4 years. CJ's been on there for three. And then Dave has concussions. So he couldn't even do anything.
CJ was on there freshman year.
Yeah, CJ
was on there too. And then Matt, obviously. And then Mike, who had to deal with his whole golf thing. It was like, that was supposed to be his get back, was to get to Rupp.
Yeah.
And then
they deserved it. They got unlucky, man.
That's, like,
really. Could you imagine if we had
Greg Cole.
Remember him? Yeah, we had a ton of dudes.
Our freshman team, they were so good.
Yeah, we were stacked. Yeah. We got lucky. We had a good basketball class.
But that's one of the low lights of my Trinity career so far, just because, like, knowing how close we were to being able to, like, to taste, like, what Rupp Arena feels like was just...
I wish we could have gotten there. That would have been so fun.
It would have been so much fun. And then, freshman... I'll finish off this. Broadcast journalism was one of the greatest experiences I've ever had. Like, just the people in there. I mean, I got to do it once with Nick and then once with Chandler to end the year. Like... And then Mr. Harris is just like, he's such a good teacher. It's like, he treats you like a friend, but he'll also be able to push you to where, like,
people. I love Mr. Harris.
Yeah, that was by far my favorite class at Trinity. Yeah. I told Mr. Harris that too.
My favorite class at Trinity has to be a class with Mr. Bowles. Any class he taught, I low key loved Bowles. I thought he was hilarious.
Mr. Bowles is a great guy.
I never had a class with
him. Yeah, he is.
But yeah, that would probably be like.
And Miss Moses is. Miss Moses is forensic science. That shit was nice.
Yeah, that would be my.
That class is awesome.
Yeah, that would be my three favorite, like, moments at Trinity ever. And Adam, you want to elaborate on, like, three of your best moments at Trinity?
I think definitely beating St. X. I know you and Chandler both said that, but I don't know, just being a part of that team, that was a big moment. Just seeing kind of how the team was my freshman year and then seeing how we cleaned everything up and got our shit together that next year. It felt good to beat them. I think two, it was that Center Grove win. Because I had never really, there was something about that game. It was electric.
It was so, like, the double overtime in that game too, and then just the Johnny Pirtle interception to seal the deal.
Yeah, Johnny Pirtle, St. Pat's legacy.
Yeah, yep. I would say that is St. Pat's legacy.
And then I'll never forget in that St. X Trinity lacrosse game how happy I was running down those bleachers and then just jumping onto Chandler.
I also jumped in my arms after.
There's
a video of it. Genie has a video of it, and Haas is like jumping in my arms, dude. That's so awesome. Fun.
I'm running out of the press box. They're like, after Huck Campbell turned into Muhammad Ali for a minute at the end of the game, I just booked it out the.
Whoa, you gotta get active.
I just booked out the press box.
After we won.
I start running down there, and then I just see Chandler's the first person I saw. So I just run over there and just leaped.
That's awesome.
Nah, yeah, it was funny.
Yeah. So we'll start with our conspiracy theory section of the podcast. So
I'm gonna go to water.
We'll start with the Bermuda Triangle. Actually, do you guys know much about the Bermuda Triangle?
A little bit.
I've seen sometimes
planes or like boats will go through there and they'll end up
going off the radar
and not being found again.
Yeah, that's about all I know. I mean, I just know that it's I know no one really knows what goes on there. It's just kind of like, once you get there, you're kind of screwed. So that's all I know.
So basically, I don't know. So I watched this show. It's called Expedition Unknown with Josh Gates. And so basically, I'll start off with Flight 19, which is probably the most famous part of the Bermuda Triangle. So basically, it was towards the end of World War II. And so this lieutenant was training his their final training mission. So this lieutenant was taking them on their final mission. So they were going to go to fly over the Bahamas, fly over this one key, and then fly back home, right? Well, then basically, once they pass the Bahamas, like, all their technology, like, equipment just starts, like, going haywire. And so, like, they don't know where they are, like, where they're supposed to be flying. And so, like, because where they're supposed to be, they're, like, miles off course. Mm-hmm. And so just... the headquarters back home is telling them to go one direction, and then it just ends up taking them farther until all their communications go down. And then, like, there's never been wreckage found of it, and, like, they've just never seen it again. Which is, like, crazy to think, because, like, of how much technology we have today, you would have think that we would have found something from that flight by now.
Yeah. Some Mr. CM type of stuff, bro.
I mean, if we're able to find the Titanic, I feel like we can...
Yeah, except like so it's like we had survivors on that though, so we could like we knew where like
a, you can kind of pinpoint it out a little bit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So where did the Titanic like crash? Where was it?
Kind of iceberg.
Yeah, like where did like where was that off by? Like
I actually have no idea.
I think it was so it was coming from London, I think, and then it was
coming here to the United States.
Coming to the United States.
I thought it was from the United States.
It sunk in the North Atlantic.
North Atlantic. So. Hmm. And then so something that like, the people that like dismiss the Bermuda Triangle, they like, because they don't believe it, is, so something they say is called rogue waves, which are basically waves that will just like appear out of nowhere, but they'll just be like double the size of like what a normal like 30-foot wave would be, and then it's like a 60-foot wave.
Yeah.
And so one of like the famous ships, it was carrying something like some really heavy cargo, but it was really top heavy and like thin in design. So basically like this, it just disappeared. But when one of like the conspiracies that like, this rogue wave might have just taken it down because of how like, top heavy it is. And so like,
do people just not go through the Bermuda Triangle?
I feel like they
try. I feel like it's gotta be avoided.
I feel like it's gotta be, yeah, like so it, famous
it is,
now.
It is kind of like a people think
like pilot
flights like flights they do not go through there like
well it's kind of like how hotels like will leave off the 13th floor
yeah
just
yeah.
for like lots
just like bad luck then.
Like yeah. they don't want to like try anything
it.
Yeah it's like because they don't want to do anything that could like mess it up or anything
they could kill people
exactly. And so for our second conspiracy theory, I know have all you watched Outer Banks?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I haven't finished it.
So, well,
I saw
you all know, like, El Dorado, and, like, that's how, what they were looking for.
Mm-hmm.
So, basically, how it started was the...
So, you got spoiled this, Johnson?
Not Outer Banks, but, like, El Dorado, basically.
Is El Dorado, like, a real thing?
So, basically, Europeans, when they were coming, like, to America, they had heard all these stories about, like, a city of gold, right? And, like... And they wanted all this gold and bring it back to England or, like, wherever they were, like, their port was.
Yeah.
And so, basically, this religious group of people down in, like, South America had always, like, kept secrets and stories, like, of, like, religious events that had happened, like, at El Dorado.
Mm-hmm.
And so, it actually started out as El Hombre Dorado, which is, like, the man of gold.
Yeah.
Because, like, whenever they had a new leader come in, they would actually, like, paint him in gold, then he would jump in like this lake. And then, so basically, once the Europeans came in, they just all started taking over and like would start killing like these religious people to try and find it because they wouldn't give them what they wanted. And so basically, nothing's ever been found, but they have found like gold and like other gold like trinkets and stuff.
Really?
Like there was this one, like it's called the Gold Raft that was found in like a cave or something. It's all, like, it's weird.
There's
like,
definitely a bunch of stuff out there that, like, nobody has clues about. That's just lost, buried.
Yeah,
like
a lot
like
of these
like
myths.
Like, the Ten Commandments and stuff.
Yeah, like, a lot of these myths, like, they have to be true.
Bro, no. what about that, what's that library that got burned?
Yes. The Library of Alexandria. Isn't that it, right?
Yeah.
So yeah.
And that had, so basically, that would have, like,
That's
got burned down by Caesar, and if we still would have had that library, I'm pretty sure it was something like we'd be 1,000 years ahead in time, or like 2,000s, like, it was something crazy. It was like, basically, stuff that would just advance us to the complete next level, and it got burned down, and basically just set us back.
Was there like a reason it was burned down, or?
I don't know. I'm pretty sure it was Caesar that did it, but it was just kind of just like a, I don't know. I don't know why he burned it down, but I mean, yeah, he definitely had some sort of purpose, but it's just crazy. I mean, that's like one of those things. It's just like, what if?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know. It's an interesting topic. There's so many like weird conspiracy theories.
Oh, yeah.
Well, have you heard about like the Egyptians, like on their like pyramids?
We actually talked about
the Egyptians.
Yeah.
Yeah. Crazy.
It's like
all that stuff. So
and
crazy.
Something like we usually will talk about like the ocean. It's like Yeah. How are you going to rule out stuff that's extinct in the ocean when we've only explored, like, so little of it?
Yeah. It's like, it's how we explored, like, 2%, like 1% of the ocean.
Like, 5%, I think it is. Yeah. It's
such nothing. A little amount for how big, how, it, like, is. Big it is. Like, oh, yeah. There's definitely stuff everywhere.
That and people, like,
we need to get down there.
Bro. A lot of people, no, but, well, that's what I'm saying, is a lot of people really don't understand how deep it is.
No, it's, like, scary.
Like, the deepest point of the ocean, I'm pretty sure it goes further down than the height of Mount Everest.
Yeah, the Mariana.
It's way deeper.
The Mariana Trench, like, if you, like, based on what we know, like, it's actually, like, deeper. Like, if it was dried up, like, if you drain the entire ocean, it would actually be taller, like, than Mount Everest is right now.
Yeah,
it's crazy, bro. There's a lot of weird stuff going on, like,
oh yeah,
on Earth that we have.
It's zero everywhere.
And I guarantee you too, like, a lot of the stuff, there's probably majority of stuff is already found out, but I feel like governments just don't want to tell people because I don't think people could, like, handle stuff.
Definitely. I think there's a lot of stuff that it's better off.
Well, I feel like that's why they don't.
Like, if there's, like, aliens and stuff, bro, and if, like, the government just, like, went out and told us, like, everyone today was like, hey, like, by the way, aliens are real.
Everyone would freak out. Here's
proof we have aliens, like, people would freak out. They could not handle themselves. Like, it would just be awful.
Well, like, I feel like that's kind of what happened with Area 51, because they can't just, like, release what's in Area 51, or people will literally storm Area 51, like, in, like, mass numbers too, like, to where they couldn't do anything about it.
Remember that on TikTok? Everyone said they were raid.
Yeah, the Area 51 raid.
That was hilarious. That was our freshman year.
That was outlandish.
And I remember
Green vs. Purple Aliens, did you do that?
Yeah. Oh my god.
In one of my classes, the Area 51, that got banned. Like, we were not allowed to talk about it in there or else we'd get jugged.
That's fine.
We would get jugged for talking
about it. We'd get jugged if we talked about Area 51. Like, it was crazy. That was, like, a massive movement. But
dude, yeah, like, some people actually, like, went.
Yeah.
I know.
Which is stupid, but
the Naruto run. that was so goofy, dude.
Nah, but, like, there's just so much we don't know. I feel like the government has so many secrets, like, they aren't telling us. Because, yes, like, if you actually know this, like, NASA used to do ocean exploration.
Mm-hmm.
And then they just stopped. They not to the extent they used to. Yeah. If that was all they were focused on, was, like, the ocean.
They probably found some.
That's what we talked about.
Yeah, there has to be a reason that something just made them stop.
Yeah, we thought they found something, like, they don't want to, like,
money, though, or something.
It could have been.
No, it definitely cost a lot of money to do that, but
I feel like it would be something.
NASA's got a lot of money.
Yeah.
I mean, it would be something big, though, like, something that they don't want to mess with that could, like, and, like, that's why they started looking at space to see, hey, maybe how we could get off the Earth. Mm-hmm. If, like,
ooh, that's a good point.
Exactly.
They saw something they didn't want to see down the water.
Exactly.
And they want to get the hell out of
now
here.
Now they start thinking, let's look at space and how we can get off this planet.
Yeah.
That's a good little theory.
Yeah. That's a good
sneaky little theory.
It's like, why just stop in the middle of something and then just not tell anyone why?
Even if it was a money thing, how is it so easy for them to flip filming rockets sending
exactly?
It's completely different.
And putting rovers on Mars.
Like, rockets are so much more expensive than submarines are. Like, submarines are nowhere near as expensive.
And, I mean, we're putting these probes and satellites into deep space. Like, it's not like we're just getting to the moon. Like, we are putting these satellites into deep space that are seeing other galaxies.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's crazy.
Wait, what?
Yeah, do you not, like,
wait, what'd you say?
They've sent radars and stuff and, like, all the way, like, far as hell back in space.
Yeah.
So, like, what's even crazier on that is that space is ever expanding. Exactly. It does not stop growing.
What I'm so interested in is, like, 50 years from now, like, where are we going to be in, like, Earth? Like, how is Earth going to be, I feel like we're slowly just starting to just decline bad.
Because I've never been much of a reader, but, like, just some of the books that we have read in school, like The Giver.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if you've ever read that, but it kind of just makes you think. It puts you into this futuristic civilization and all this, just everything that goes on. It's how it's messed up, and it's this new dictatorship. And if you look at our government and how the world and country's kind of progressing, it's
yeah. Here's like, I give it like 10-15 years and there's gonna be scientists like living on like Mars.
Yeah, I mean, it wouldn't surprise me.
Like, I honestly feel like I would not be surprised to see another, like, not like gun, but like civil war in a way, just because like how divided the world, like the U.S. keeps getting, and like politically wise, conservatives and Democrats, like we keep like dividing like so much from people, like from each other, because like everyone's ideology is like so different. No one wants to agree with each other about.
George Washington said it himself. He said that divided houses will be the fall of the United States.
And it's literally happening as we speak.
No, yeah, it's definitely starting to. It's gonna start making a big impact soon, and
well, it's like
I think people.
Bro, our grandkids and you can are see, screwed.
You can see like people are already starting to go crazy, bro. Like school shootings and stuff.
Yeah, like
yeah, that's wild.
Like,
me, bro.
Like who, what do you get from that?
Like, who wakes up in the morning and is like, just I'm gonna go shoot up a school?
I don't get how.
I think they'll probably think about it for a little bit.
But I don't get. I just don't understand how you can mentally like process the action of that.
Yeah, like,
yeah. Just, and then just like be fine with it.
And then, because, I mean, if you look at it, a lot of the time they're being interrogated, they don't show emotion about it. It's very much just, yeah.
Have y'all seen the body cam footage of the lady where she went and, like, shot up that, like, elementary school in Nashville?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
There's body cam footage of it, and it's, like...
Dude, these people, like, streamed it on Facebook.
They recorded it?
No, the cops, like, there's body cam footage. Like, this dude opens his trunk... grabs like an AR, like big ass AR, some rifle, walks inside, they're checking buildings, they get upstairs and they get into like this open area and she's in there and they literally just start like just
have you seen,
raining.
Raining.
Have you seen the body cam footage from the
And they're like she's like on the ground and they're just standing over here just lighting her up.
Have you seen the body cam footage from the bank shooting?
No, I've not seen
that. That shit, that's
really?
Yeah, because the body cam, it was two officers that responded to it that were both outside. They're having to shoot like into the building with the guy.
Yeah. We had a shooting here a month ago.
Yeah.
One of our coaches' dads, his dad ended up getting shot.
What about
like that? It's crazy like people that you know like that actually got harmed like in the shooting, like it's just crazy to think.
Yeah,
it just shows like man, like how it messed up. Like
because you see shootings this. Isn't going to sound good, but you see shootings on the news a lot, and it doesn't really hit you.
Yeah, the mall at St.
Yeah.
There was a shooting there.
I was with, like, my basketball team, like, in, like, March, just chilling there, and then think there was just a random pop-up shooting.
Yeah, it really doesn't hit you until it happens to someone you know.
Yeah, unless you really think about it, it's like...
It's wild. Some scary stuff.
Okay, well, this has been the fourth episode of the Uncensored Podcast. I'm Carter Haas.
I'm Adam Wickle.
Andrew Welch.
Nick Ezra.
And Chandler Dude.
Thank you for listening.
Lowe's knows that saving is always top of mind, especially this season. That's why we've picked some great deals for early Black Friday. Get free select DeWalt, Cobalt, or Craftsman tools when you buy a select battery or combo kit. More tools? Why not? Plus, we've got select pre-lit artificial Christmas trees starting at $59.98 because it's never too early to think Christmas. Get Black Friday prices without the crowds. Lowe's, we help you save. While supplies last, selection varies by location.